Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
enormously talented Shout Even Chai from the Faroe Islands. She was playing guitar and singing, and she was doing that to The Word You Cannot Say, a song that was words written by Jay Hatter, one of our poets here on A Team of Voices. You stumbled across A Team of Voices on Blog Talk Radio. It is a show where we do open poetry this week. I am AP Taylor, your host, and sitting with me is Deb. Hi, Deborah Lee. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I am very, very well. And we've got a couple of callers on the line, even though we don't have Hatter because he's unwell, so get well, Hatter. We do have a couple of callers. And we have 270. Hello, 270.
That would be me. Yes, it's Wayne.
It would be Wayne. Hello, Wayne. How are you?
Pretty good. You doing okay, AP?
I am much better today. Wayne, yes,
cool.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
I had one of those events on the machine where you feel like you've been run over by a plow, which I did, but
yeah,
anyway, it takes a day to get rid of it, but I'm back, so, but yeah, no, you wouldn't want much out of me yesterday, Wayne, but I'm back today, so there you go. And we have 503, hello 503.
Hey, this is Dave Prophet, how are you doing, AP?
Hey, Mr. Dave Prophet. Very well. How are you, Dave?
I'm fine. Not too bad.
Excellent.
How are you, everybody
Excellent.
Else?
Very good. Today, very good. Yesterday, bloody awful. Today, very good. So, you know, that's all you can ask for. All you can ask for is being right on the day, as they say, Dave. So, anyway, there you go. So we're going to get straight into it. We have got a full board, Deb, of poems, and we've got poems from including both Dave and Wayne. But I thought we would get into it first with the poem and something that I would do, Deb. This is Just Old Me, and they have gone and done a parody to one of my favourite songs, which is The Rainbow Connection. So since they've gone and done that and they need a reader, I'm going to put it on the board first. And I don't think you're going to be able to hear this karaoke in the background, but it's going to keep me on track, hopefully, for this. It's very quiet. Why are there so many words about money and who's on the shiny dime? Money is paper that's gone in a vapor, but money has caused much crime. Some have been sold and some choose to save it. They'll soon be broke, wait and see. Someday we'll do it, the money transaction, the bankers, the mobsters, and me. Who said that every debt be paid? That's received and gained on a risky bet. Somebody thought of that, and someone went missing, and look how their parents fret. More disgracing than blindly wealth chasing, and what is an interest fee? Someday we'll do it, the money transaction, the bankers, the mobsters, and me. All of us under its spell, we know that it's probably tragic. Have you been in the red and used all of your breath? I've heard them knocking my door. Is this the hard pound that takes all that I've found? That this might be hunting for more. I've heard it too many times to ignore it. It's something I'm supposed to want. Someday we'll do it, the money transaction, the bankers, the mobsters, and me. Cha-cha-cha, ching, cha-cha-cha, ching, cha-cha, ching, cha-cha-cha, ching. End poem. There we go. That was one way to start. Ah, Deb, what did you think of the parody there by Just Old Me?
You know, I think he did an amazing job with the rewrite. You did a great job singing it, and it was like a really cool way to kick off the show. I like the topic, too, and how he had bankers in there. Yeah, it was fun. And it's not a short one, so he did a really great, fantastic job. Wow.
3, and Poeta Bacabra's listening, and so hello, Poeta, and I did have a bit of a frog in my throat. You heard a bit of the Kermit coming through. Dave, what did you think of that money transaction by Just Sold Me?
Well, congratulations on your stringing job, AP. I think you did a good job on it. There's a lot of truth in this poem, a lot of truth in it, and when you consider it this way, it makes one wonder if we couldn't get along without money. But that won't happen. But you know, unfortunately, but it was well written, and I thought he did a really good. They did, or whoever. I'm not familiar with these folks. But,
yes, just on money. Yes.
I thought the thing was written really well. The rhyme and meter on it's pretty fair. It's got an interesting storyline. So I thought it was a good poem.
Yeah. No. Thanks. Thank you. Oh, agreed, Dave. And Wayne, what did you think of piece by Just Sold Me?
I think it's a wonderful parody. It's sung well by EP. And when I first met AP, I thought he might be a Muppet, and now I'm sure of it. This is real close to the original song as far as the way it was written. And the best part I think about it is the part of the ending where it goes ching instead of the da-da-da-da.
Oh, yeah,
the ching. Ching.
Yeah,
that was wonderful. It's great for a Saturday night. It's great, the Muppets and the Money on Saturday night. Perfect.
There you go, the Muppets and the Money. No, thank you, Wayne. And thank you. Good way to start. I agree. Now, I have put your poem up on the board, and I know that you've got a SoundCloud that is in the studio, Wayne, so we're going to do your poem next, which is Child Roland from Dark Tale of Returns.
You heard about Child Roland, the original poem about Chad Roland's The Dark Tower came. I'm sure you probably read it. It's a very good poem. I was wondering to see what kind of style this is. What is this type of poem called? It's going to be iambic pentameter, but what is the rhyme and everything? What is this? What kind of poem is this? So I was wondering if you
could
have a look.
Right, as we go.
All right.
So let me play your SoundCloud, and I'll have a look as we go. Here we go.
This is called Chad Roland from Dark Tower Returns by Wayne Gent. My bugle I played with no ears to hear, journey not one of joy or glee to seek, nor route a passage for the helpless meek. For what purpose did I shed my last tear? I must make my plan to return this year. Shall rest beneath the castle walls this week. No odor smelt amongst my years before to lay upon this wicked wall I rest. No matter, no more to swear I am best. I yield with my honor to boast no more. Witnessed the eyes, sickness of blood and gore. There is no failure without means to test. Bid farewell to cracked stone of castle wall. I parted with one final horn to sound, and dread to walk upon this murky ground. Never my mind released vision I saw. My homeland I now hear to be my call. With no peace or comfort I wish I found. Path taken no better or worse, I trek. Visions I had seem no longer real. Only trips and traps that end in a kill. But no harms to me, I fully expect. And fear I had, somehow I now reject. Soon to know my bed and comfort. Feel. Ian?
Well, why? this is a very technical right, because you're going 10 syllables, you're using iambic pentameter, and you're using a ABB, AWB, et cetera, scheme. And you're following on from the Robert Browning poem. So you're using exactly the same form, which is very, very funky, and the same feel, which is extra funky. I don't think I've seen you attempt something as technical as this, and you've done an outstanding job. So well done.
Thank you. What is it? What is that style of portrait trick called? Do you know anything style that rhyme scheme? Is that any kind of a...
I was looking it up, Wayne, and it doesn't actually have a style or form of its own accord. It's very clever, and the minute you start talking pentameters, you know, stressed and unstressed syllables, you're talking pretty serious poetry. So, very well done. Dave.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you say Dave?
You know,
I think that's it. Yes.
You know, I think it's really, really cool how you have become so perfect at matching the background tones with the subject matter. And there were just one in the background, you could hear it, and it kept you in a I don't even know how to put it, in like a state. And as you read on, they were all great, but I like that last one. Past taken no better or worse, I trek. Visions I had seemed no longer real. Only trips and traps that end in a kill, but no harm to me I fully expect. And fear I had somehow I now reject. Soon to know my bed and comfort to feel. But I like the idea of having the power to reject that fear. I think you did great, Wayne.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And Dave, what did you think of Wayne's piece?
Oh, I thought it was really good. I liked it a lot. I'm not privy to all the technicalities of poetry. I just thought what's on my mind. But I thought that the way Wayne worded this expressed what he was thinking very well, and it captured the mood of the banner picture too, I thought. I like the way he read it. I like the music that he chose for the background, and the storyline in it is really interesting too. So, way to go, Wayne.
Well, thank you, Dave. That's a great comment.
Well done, Wayne. Great job. Great job. Now, Mr. Prophet, Dave, I have your piece up on the board if you would like to read.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah, sure. Okay, this particular, let me preface this just a little bit. This particular poem was written, and it was supposed to, it was like a substitution of lyrics for a song that I liked anyway, and that song was by Pink Floyd. It was called Sorrow. So, If you're wondering what the interlude and the bridge and all that stuff's about in the poem, that's what it's about. And it's called The Sorrow Within Me. And it sounds like this. There's a wind of change that sweeps over the land. There's a hatred and a prejudice I do not understand. Staring up at the midnight sky, see all the purity that lies as earth rotates and the stars fly on by. Living in the past where all the good times lie, backwards in time, there I cannot fly. I'm lost in time to a past I cannot leave. All those things of yesterday, I still believe. Interlude. Reality's cold fingers pull me back from the brink, drowning in the past where I've started to sink, from the event horizon that spills into yesterday, forever lost to those songs that it plays. Bridge. One mind, my soul. River runs and time rolls. I love this imaginary woman. She's my own invention. I call her the Dark Mother or some other convention. Her silent replies spoken only to me. Through her hydrogen alpha eyes, she lets me see. Unending wind that blows through my soul. The stardust in my eyes tries to keep me whole. the Dark Miller's whispering is so much softer than words. My heart promises are broken. End poem.
Ah, very interesting. I really like that Pink Floyd. Just it has a really lovely sort of sense around it. But I like how you've got the last stanza, actually. The unending wind that blows through my soul, the stardust in my eyes tries to keep me whole. Very, very nice. Wayne, what did you think of Dave's piece?
I liked it a whole lot. This is the second time I heard it, and when he started reading this time, I turned on the tape, the Pink Floyd music he had at the bottom. It's a great song. It's a great song, sorry, is. And when you read it right along with the music perfectly. It kind of fits the music. The poem fits the music well, and the theme fits it well. You did a great job on this, and last time I heard it, I didn't picture the song with it as much. And this time I did, and it's a whole lot better, and it's a great song. You did a great poem you did there. You ought to read it sometime with the music playing and record it. It comes in, it works out well. Great job.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne. And Deb, did you want to say a few words on Dave's piece?
You know, I remember this one, and I remember it being featured, and me thinking that it was a great choice for your to be featured with is this one. I like worth that in the bridge there. One mind, my soul, rivers run and time rolls. And then the stanza that comes after this, I love this imaginary woman. She's my own invention. I call her Dark Mother or some other convention. Her silent reply spoken only to me. And, you know, when I got to that part, I couldn't help but go to one of your messages that you sent over the last week. And, by the way, thank you for the most recent one. But the message that I'm thinking of because of this stanza was one where you were sort of like apologizing for her and telling me not to worry. And I just thought that was, I mean, you had her so in depth that sometimes you feel like you need to apologize for her. And that was like, wow. And that's what I thought of when it said her silent reply spoken only to me. And I don't know. I like is that your own? Is that Zephyr in the photo?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Cool photo. Great share, David.
Thank you. Thank you, Deb.
Excellent work, Doug. Enjoyed that very much. Thank you. We are
Thank
now
you.
Going on to a piece by Titus Llewellyn, and he has, as always, put in a SoundCloud. So I'm going to go and play that now. And it goes like this.
Timelines. We must be unique with words to fill a niche not frequented before, and design our books in ways we can equate to being a classic sage. Timelines to compare our beliefs are forgotten. Breathe new life into taking hold of the leash. To separate the poets from the past, one looks to the past without pretending I could forage from anywhere before I too will be forgotten. Until a time for now, it turns to say goodbye. A bygone age or futures to rely on. Conserve that everlasting glow that was hoped for now. It alters the way curiosity enables our thinking. While a horse can be drawn to water, a sigh. I say, though frequent findings intend to reserve judgment over readers who will be taught how to make curiosity appear without us blinking. For once in finding intentions true are shown, receiving ripples, it sends the slightest notion towards a vastness that something out there, thinking back to a time that of our childhood, to when last I wrote, it was like the unknown thinking timelines do keep a perpetual motion above all else. It moves with this love affair of ours to replicate a time where once I stood.
Very elegant, Tony. The piece was done in response a few years ago now to that picture at the top, and you certainly did go and make it your own with a really interesting ABCD, eight line stanza times three approach. So it did rhyme, but it didn't sort of immediately rhyme. You had to wait for the rhyme to arrive. And the rhyme at the end of the line sort of intersected with the story, but the focus and emphasis was more on the story, not the end of the rhyme, if that makes sense. And so it actually sailed along quite beautifully. I loved how you read it, and I loved the music behind it. Deb, what did you think of the piece, Titus?
You know, this is one of those that sort of you can sit there and in each piece find something, each line actually find something different. I love how he starts it with, we must be unique with words to fill a niche, not frequented before. Like, that is such a, I think you just used the word elegant, but it's a really elegant way to say, to come up with new stuff. Don't try to say something that you've heard. You want to stand out. You want to be yourself. You want to be unique. And I thought that was a great message. And I like lines like, breathe new life into taking hold of the leash to separate the poets from the past. And what was the other until a time for now turns to say goodbye, a bygone age all futures do rely on, conserve that everlasting glow. Just each section has like a little message, and the thought of conserving the glow is a beautiful one. And then in the end there, for once in finding intentions true are shown receiving ripples, like the butterfly effect. What you put out there, it comes back, and if you put bad comes back, put good, and the favor is returned type of thing. And you could go in depth into each one and find more. I think this is excellent.
Thank you, Deb. Great comment. Dave, what did you think of the piece there from...
I pretty much agree with what Deb said about it. There's different things that you can take away from it in each stanza. And I think you could sit down four people and let them read it at the same time and then ask them what they thought about it, and you'd get four different versions of this poem. It's more or less spoken in a universal tongue, I think. People read this and it appeals to them in different ways. And, you know, I think that's a real gift for a writer to be able to do that. I don't know, Deb read it. It was, it must be up here in the top. We must be unique with words to fill a niche not frequented before. That's something that I think any poet that's worth his salt strives to do. If it's a phrase or metaphor that's been used before and it's used again, it's only because it's the most proper fitting insertion to use in the poem. But I think we should all strive to just write the way our heart tells us to. I've always tried to write that way, and I've had fairly good success with it, I guess. But, Titus has a really good way of doing that, or Tony. And so I like this. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, no, thanks, Doug. And what did you think, Wayne, of Titus's piece?
Titus, I've heard this poem before. I think I've heard it twice before, but Titus has a way of using the vocabulary that just amazes me, that his professionalism with the way he speaks and the classic sound that he puts out. The time, and as far as the poem goes, the time rhymes are nice to have. It takes people back to a certain time in their life, and he's kind of relating back to things that happened in his life, and that's just a good poem all the way over. When he reads this, it kind of brings back memory. I bring back memories to me of how my life was in certain times in my life. Just a great poem all the way around, and he did a good job of quoting it in, and his words, his vocabulary is just perfect. He's a star. Great job.
Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Great comment, and thanks everybody for your comments. Titus's piece, which was quite beautiful. So thank you, Titus, again, for sending in not just a poem, but for the SoundCloud and the work that you do to make those come together and your support of our group. So I'm now going on to Poeta DiCapra's piece, and it's interesting because Poeta's written a piece up on the board called In the Dark, and it's about COVID and governments. Now, back when this was on in Victoria, this would have potentially, we wouldn't have been able to read this because governments actually put legislation in to say that you couldn't criticise people, and it was quite bizarre, but it was. Anyway, we can now. This is a Poeta DiCapra, it's In the Dark, and it goes a little bit like this. Government took away our given right, scared that COVID-19 may win the fight. Mustn't go outside under any circumstance to the end of human race. We take that chance. We don't really know who or what to believe, but with head covered over, it's hard to breathe. Stay inside, they say. Make sure to cover your face. COVID could actually be undoing of the human race. Can go to the supermarket, but nowhere else in town. Politicians treat us like dogs while the country in lockdown. Sick of being told what to do and listening to all their lies. Don't need masks. They're pulling the wool over our eyes. Stay at home, they say. Stock the cupboards. Be prepared. Supermarket shelves empty and they're running scared. People go slowly insane if they don't see the light of day. Adults need to do some exercise and the kids need to play. Far too dangerous to kiss and try hard not to touch. Afraid these silly rules and regulations are getting too much. Leaders of this world and the media need to be brought to task. Time for them to tell the truth, face the world and be unmasked. Can't believe a word they say as they scare us to death. Utter garbage flows from their mouths with every breath. Let's throw away our masks, get back to normal, move about. COVID may kill a few people, but we'll never wipe humans out. Media is full of propaganda, treats common man as a mere fool. Time you returned to work and sent the children back to school. I'm asking you people to go back to normal. No, I actually insist. The world didn't get this far without people having a go and taking a risk. End poem. As I said, completely agree with you, actually. We have, in Victoria here at least, we had 12 to 15 months of continuous lockdown. It was absolutely ridiculously crazy, and then we just threw it away in a week or two, and when it went through the rest of the community. Wayne, did you see something in that poem?
Yeah, I did. She got captured the mood and the actions of the time perfectly during the COVID scare or pandemic or whatever. It was a bad deal with a lot of bad things happening. People made a lot of bad decisions, and she kept it the whole time period perfectly. And I agree with everything she said in the poem. So it's just a good poem. And it's basically it's history. And she did a good job of covering it. So it did a great job of this poem, and I liked it a whole lot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think the poet did do a good job. And what do you think of this one, Dave?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of truth in this, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
I could read this poem to all my friends, and they would give it a thumbs up because, you know, this whole thing with COVID-19 and all these brand new vaccines, and you got to have a booster for this and a booster for that, it's all BS as far as I'm concerned. I really admire him coming out and saying all this stuff. I wonder how many small businesses were wiped out because of this baloney, it's just
thousands.
It's just another negative, huge negative sign for the 21st century, as far as I'm concerned. And it just needs to go away, you know. And I agree with this last part of this last stanza. Says I actually insist worlds didn't get this far without people having a go, taking a risk. That's right. That's true.
Yeah.
You know. So
yeah.
I like that. I thought it was a great poem.
That agreed, and that's eventually what we did. Deb, what did you think of Poet of Space?
You know, I think that he did an excellent job. It's in-your-face truth. Some of the stuff is pretty sobering because, you know, who would have thought a few years ago that all this would have happened and taken such a long time and devastated not just a country but the planet. And it was a mega wake-up call as far as we are just one big, giant family and passing around germs and sometimes, you know, we got the people who don't believe, the people who do believe, the people who get sick.
Mm.
I mean, it's just, but to stand up there and say what he wanted to say is very brave. And I love the fact that, I mean, look at the picture that he wrote to. Now they're under full faith. I mean, I think that you look at that art, I think that it's a brilliant right to go with a very loud piece of art. It was a great share.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Poeta. Really, really great piece. And for the record, my best friend's business that in the building that I'm working in went under. He had 24 people. His business was valued at $10 million, and it all was lost in 6 weeks. It was worth nothing. He ended up having to sell this building that I'm in. Really, really sad. Anyway.
Tragic.
And forwards we go. I have got a piece by Phil the Poet, and Phil, being the good man he is, has sent in a SoundCloud, so I'm going to play that now.
It's a poem by Phil the Poet called Black Bacara. She crushes my dark petals to her heaving bosom. My thorns penetrate her snow-white skin. She breathes in my aroma of velveteen delight, caressing my head with so much tenderness. Her eyes become like mist. The silent flood pours forth. I taste her tears. I smell her sorrow. A single rose held in bleeding hands, soaked by tears, kissed by blood, adds a dark mystery to my name. She smiles, but her eyes tell another story. A broken doll with sad eyes, holding me like a lost lover, forgets about my thorns, leaving bloody tracks on a pale canvas. She picks my petals with timidity, careful not to hurt my feelings, scatters them on the earth in a trance of melancholic bliss. Black Bacara is my name. Upon the casket I lay, my thorns dripping red, while she kneels in silent prayer. End poem.
There's something about that, Phil. I wish I knew what it was, but there was something about it that actually had you completely personally committed to that poem. And it was written about the thing in front of us, but it was written about something else as well, I'm completely convinced, because of your voice. Deb?
Well, you know, for one thing, to me, that's one of the most beautiful roses out there. It's so red, it's almost black. I put it on the board. And I like how he made this with all those delicious, sensual undertones. A single rose held in bleeding hands, soaked by tears, kissed by blood, adds a dark mystery to my name. she smiles, but her eyes tell another story. I like the, I don't know if intrigue's the right word, but I really like this. Like I said, and the sensual undertones really drove it home. And obviously the judges in some contests thought so too, because this is a triple award winner. I really, really like this. And like I said, I put a picture of the flower, the rose, on the board. It's a stunning picture that I love that he took.
Holy
cow, that's almost black.
It is. It's amazing, isn't it? I didn't know it was like that. Dave, did you want to say a few words now that you know the rose?
I really like this a lot. It had a really, really interesting storyline to it. It was kind of mysterious in a way, and because I didn't know anything about that black Baccara rose. Flowers aren't really my thing, but I thought it was a really interesting poem. I like the way he reads. He never disappoints on his SoundClouds, you know, and this one was just a really fascinating poem, I think. So I can see why it was an award winner, too. You know.
Yeah.
Good job.
No, agreed. So thanks, Doug. And Wayne, did you want to say a few words about Phil the Poet's piece?
Yes, I did. Well, this is an essential poem that has a touch of mystery with it. The metaphors are wonderful. The mood of dying at the end works well. The lost love is always sad, and he brought the sadness to life perfectly in this poem. It's another gem of a poem for him, and it smells great. Phil's a top-notch poet, and I like all his work.
Well done, Brian. Thank you. And so thank you again to Phil the Poet for joining us and for giving us a SoundCloud. I've now put up on the board a piece called Wings of Immortality by Frank Dilma. And it goes a little bit like this. I was born to the turquoise seas that born me like a child, and to the crimson buds of the fields that weaned me. In the bosom of the celestial arches of the heavens, where my breath is one with the blazing chariots of the winds. My spirit lies in the racemes of the lilies of the valley, drifting into the mirage in the oasis or the stratus of the sky. And I am the polished agate forgotten by the alchemist, or the crystalline tears of paisley falling from the rain. They become the ice crystals of the Siri or the pearls of the sea, stranded on the bottom of its cold, shallow waters, and forsaken to the diorama of my illusions of the mystic city of Iram, in the crevices of the souls and the dark urns of the ashes, a sorrow of the inscriptions of graven stones of souls destined to encrusted hearts of a sanctuary beneath the concentric circles of light, seen around a luminous corona of the sun. And I am the streaking comet pulled by the gravity of debris, reborn for the labyrinths of the blooming zunarias of Aden, into the origami of flowers and the shapes of the prism of colours, as the filigree of frost melts and my heart transforms into a fleur-de-lis. A thousand chrysalis of the swallowtail butterflies open their contours. They become the choreography of the angels and the compass of the universe, where the lutes and zithers of lovers are heard with the harps of divine nature, as the threads of gossamers become jewels, of rubies and emeralds, and dreamers become the mermaids of the seas with their sighs, the fairies of the fields with their laughter, tears of the cherubs of the heavens. My sorrow no longer will flood the sea with my tears of rain, and I shall rise like the phoenix from within, my skin to fly into the heavens. For I am the atom of love and the pneuma of my own mortality, but I too aspire the splendid wings of immortality. End poem. Wayne. What did you think of that piece?
That was another wonderful poem by Frank. This must be a night of all-star poets, it seems like. Phil and Titus all together, we're lucky to have somebody shower their words in on us like that. There are three great poets. And this poem here is, you did a good job reading it, and there's another excellent poem by Frank, and he's above the top of everybody too. So I'm honored just to hear their poems. They're so wonderful. And he did a great job with this one. He did a good job reading. Good job.
Thank you, Blake, and great comment. Deb, did you want to say a few words about this piece?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was really, really visual, and as you went on, you could see some of the images in your mind that he used, and I think that each line added to the ambiance, and it was just, there was something about it, and I was just looking, count them, he's got 7 awards for this poem, a few of them which are golds. I mean, he did it. Excellent job, and the title "Wings of Immortality." I thought that was great, which leads me to my favorite line: "They become the choreography of the angels and the compass of the universe." I love that line. Great share.
Yeah, yeah, really good comment. And Dave, what did you think of this piece by Francisco?
Wow, it's. It's pretty lofty and sophisticated. The adjective use and all the metaphors and stuff in it. I like the way he writes. I like Franco's stuff anyway, and I always have. And I thought he did a really fine job with this one. It's very ethereal and. Has a captivating storyline to it. I thought it was great.
No, thanks, Doug. And great comments, everybody. And thanks, Francisco, for sharing that piece with us. And we are now going to go to the board and grab a piece by Heavenly Angel. This is her collaboration with Easy Writer, called This Love We Share. And it goes a bit like this. You are my sunshine after a dark and stormy night, a gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. You are my superstar that shines ever so bright, and darling, I hope it will always be this way. I fell a little head over heels for you that first hello. You restored my spirits like a refreshing soft rain. From the very start, you set my heart all aglow. These feelings inside I just cannot restrain. Our romance is a fine champagne, a timeless blend, so sweet are your lips like candy they be. This love we share, babe, it shan't ever end. The door to my heart, just you hold the key. Sleep or awake, no matter, you're always on my mind. You alone have made my whole life worthwhile. You are all the treasure I ever hoped to find. All it took was one kiss, hon, and that pretty smile. End poem. Dave, I'm going to turn to you first, sister. Oh, I think you might have dropped. Be with me as the only person here in the room. What did you think of that piece?
You know, I got to read this for them once. And when you read the poems between them, there's no telling who wrote what because they write so well together. And if you take a peek to the side there, they've written 76 collabs together, and they're always oozing romance, and this is no exception. And I was just looking, it's also got 4 awards already. I like the way they just sit down and they go back and forth, like I said, and they just, they write like one. It's the best way I can think to put it.
Yes. And my thanks to both Dave and to Wayne, who had to disappear, but it was great for them to hang around with us. We've got 4 more poems to go to. This is Hut, Hut, Hut by Lawrence 67. And it goes a bit like this. Yikes! Crash! Oh, my aching head. I've got to get my hut fixed. I put a hole right through it. Does your hut have holes all through it, because you used to stop your forward momentum when you're swinging through the trees. Don't worry about it. Jubo's Hut Hut Hut, we offer a variety of hut products to reinforce that worn-out hut of yours so that you don't go through it the next time you're coming in hot and heavy for a landing. Our prices range from a couple of coconuts to a bunch of banana bushels, depending on your extraordinary needs. And, ding, 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 congratulations, you win a bonus poem. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie. Nigel, lick, lick, slurp. Alfie. Hey, Nigel, what you doing? Nigel. Oh, hey, Alfie, look, I can lick my rhymes to balls. Alfie, why? Nigel, I don't know. I saw that old alley cat doing it, and I thought, well, see what it was all about. It's kind of fun. You should try it. Alfie, well, okay, if you say so. Lick, lick, slurp. Alfie, Alfie. I said, not me, yourself. Alfie, oh, my bad. Lick, lick, slurp. Pen pong. Pen pong. Deb? What did you think?
They're fun to read, aren't they?
67. They are fun to read.
Such a clever way of continuing the storyline. And they go back and forth with the conversation, and you can always get a giggle out of it. And sometimes it covers some pretty interesting topics, too. I think that these are fun, and our prices range from a couple of coconuts to a bunch of banana bushels.
I like that.
It's just very, very clever and entertaining and fun.
Yeah, no, every time they're fun. Great internal rhythm and presence. Anyway, so I am now on the lockdown larks, the wave, and it goes a bit like this. A wave crashes into me. I think it is full of hope, but to bleed is destiny, so I must swim to cope. A wave greets me, yet I am leaving. What is this anomaly? It's just a song I'm singing. In the distance, a tsunami I see. I scramble to climb mountains at the very top of the tree. I look down at the emerging fountains. A wave greets me, yet I am leaving. What is this trickery? It's just the song I am singing. Now I can feel the swell and its swing and sway. Harmony calls me for a spell. I am learning as I feel the spray. A wave greets me, yet I am leaving. What is this perversity? It's just this song I am singing. Now in the depths of twilight, it seems I can swim no more. And I see approaching the longest night, I believe soon to know the score. The wave still there, yet now I advance. A soul wanting to share, to sing my song and dance. So to take a chance, sing your song and dance. End poem. Kind of fun. I like the rhymes. I like how they tumble upon themselves. I like the waves. Deb, what did you think of Lockdown Lark's piece?
I thought this came out really good. I liked it. The Grateful Dead, the picture at the top is really cool. And he reaches in and a wave greets me, yet I'm leaving. What is this anomaly? It's just a song I am singing. A wave greets me, yet I'm leaving. But is this trickery? It's just a song I am singing. I like the change in that stanza, just the subtle changes, like the singing, the trickery. I thought that was really cool. And the wave's still there, yet now I advance, a soul wanting to share, to sing my song and dance. I love that stanza, especially the sing my song and dance part.
Mm.
Fun share, Lockdown. Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. It sort of moved its way around, didn't it? It was quite clever. Okie doke. I've got my poem and then the classic poem, Deb. So my poem it is. This is The Lone Pine, written to one of my favourite images at the minute, and it goes a bit like this. Age-wearied rock stands in worn-down ridges, glowering at the stars and nebula upon high. Distant galaxies forming bright white bridges, they traverse flat plains, which are patient and dry. Awaiting the clouds that so often dry and wither from the fierce heat and winds that gather here, until the eve when the sun is sent away to shiver and the brightest sentinels from above to peer. Down upon orange sands and fierce ochre blocks where the shadows of life is extinguished within arc. But here one sees has found a place within rocks so a single pine stands with its needle and bark. A lonely sentinel through which breezes tarry, birds and lizards gathered here, from far and near, while upon sandy soils the noises of young Terry, wishing all the best for Christmas and a happy new year. End poem.
Yeah, this one is just so awesome. And I love the picture. I love that little tree there. Gosh, yep. I could really pick any one, but in the second stanza there, awaiting the clouds that so often dry and wither from the fierce heat and winds that gather here until the eve when the sun is set away to shiver and the brightest sentinels from above do peer. The sentinels, I love that, and the use of the withers there. And then the last sentence, the last stanza there, a lonely sentinel which breezes tarry, birds and lizards gather here from the far and near, while upon sand soils the noises of young Cary, wishing all the best for Christmas and a happy new year. I love that it's like a, almost like a greeting card, especially when it ends with the message for the holidays. Great share, great art. And I really think
Thank
that it
you.
Should say something about the art in the author's notes, just saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess it should. Yes, art by the author. Okay, Deb, I've got your poem on the board, which is Duck Wives, Give the Silent Treatment 2.
Oh, yeah, just a brevity with a little lighthearted humor. It's called Duck Wives Give the Silent Treatment 2, and here we go. The fowl crowd lines the swamp grass shores, waiting for the neon sun to set, as they do. Tonight is the quack pack jamboree at Willow Pond, and date night for Lincoln Lily Mallard, too. But she spied him eyeing up the white-crested duck. So now her mate finds himself in deep poo. Then he winked at the passing khaki Campbell twins. Honks and hisses echoed, then plucked feathers flew. Now it's the cold feather and into Spot's doghouse with the turkey brothers and the male swan crew as the females bust them all for their looky-loo. End poem.
There you go. It just goes to show that even if you're birds, you get yourself in trouble if you look at the wrong people at the wrong time, Deb, and you get caught.
Yep.
So, good to see that even the birds are in the doghouse. So, that was kind of fun. Thank you, Deb, and thank you to all the people who were with us tonight, including Poeta on the board. So, thanks, Poeta. To Deb, to Wayne, and to Dave for calling in, and all those people who sent us SoundClouds and sent us poems to read. We're going to finish with the classic poem for this week, which Deb has selected. This is by famous 19th century American poet Oliver Wendell Holmes. It's called The September Gale. It goes like this. I'm not a chicken, I have seen full many a chill September, and though I was a youngster then, the gale I well remember. The day before, my kite string snapped, and I my kite pursuing. The wind whisked off my palm leaf hat. For me, two storms were brewing. It came as quarrels sometimes do when married folks get clashing. There was a heavy sigh or two before the fire was flashing. A little stir among the clouds before they rent asunder. A little rocking of the trees. And then came on the thunder. Lord, how the ponds and rivers boiled. They seemed like bursting craters. And oaks lay scattered on the ground as if they were potatoes. And all above was in a howl and all below a clatter. The earth was like a frying pan or some such hissing matter. It chanced to be our washing day and all our things were drying. The storm came roaring through the lines and sent them all a-flying. I saw the shirts and petticoats go riding off like I lost. Bitterly I wept. I lost my Sunday breeches. I saw them straightening through the air, alas, too late to win them. I saw them chase the clouds as if the devil had been in them. They were my darlings and my pride, my boyhood's only riches. Farewell, farewell, I faintly cried, my breeches are my breeches. That night I saw them in my dreams, how changed from what I knew them. The dews had steeped their faded threads, the winds had whistled through them. I saw the wide and ghastly rents where demons' claws had torn them. A hole was in their outpost, that part, as if an imp had worn them. I've had many happy years and tailors kind and clever, but the yo-yo's young pantaloons have gone forever and forever. And not till fate has cut the last of all my earthly stitches, this aching heart shall cease to mourn my loved, my long-lost breeches. End poem. And so with that,
isn't that cool?
I say, oh, Deb, I liked it a lot. And so, at precisely 61 minutes, I will say thank you, goodbye, and we will be back next week, Deb, with another episode. So until then, same time, same channel, get well, Hatter. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, everybody. And I will see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Great show, AP. Love and respect, everyone.
Thanks, Deb. Talk to everybody soon. Bye, everybody.